Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Makos Daf Chav Gimel, the second to last daf of Meseches Makos. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely, and also by Jeffrey Geitzel for Shevach V'Odah HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the incredible Nace this past Friday night on Rockaway Turnpike. May Yehuda Leib Ben Miriam have a refuah shalema bikarov. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding at the Gemara on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We already learned the Mishnah that discusses exactly what the procedure is for giving Malkus. The Gemara is going to tell us four different statements of Rav Sheshes in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The first one is about the whip that we use for Malkus. Then the Gemara is going to describe a little bit about why the whip is made up of the parts that it's made up of and how large the whip is, how large it needs to be, and how to for different people. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas. What type of person should be the one doing the whipping? Do we want someone who's weak in physical strength but strong in intellect, or vice versa? The Gemara is going to discuss the role of each of the Dayanim during the Malkus. Apparently, the three Dayanim are the ones that have to actually carry it out. So what are they doing during the Malkus? How exactly are three people carrying it out? The Gemara is going to talk about Chayavei Krisus who get Malkus being putter from Kares. We're going to have a discussion whether that's true, that if a person does something for which he's chayiv kares and then he gets malkus, is he now putter from the kares? Then we're going to have the Mishnah is going to tell us four agadita statements about the schar for doing mitzvos and things of that nature. And then the Gemara is going to tell us that we paskin that getting malkus exempts someone from kares. We're going to have three places where Beis Din Shalmaila agreed to some decision of Beis Din Shalmaila. Mata, and the Gemara is going to discuss how we could possibly know that. We're not in Beis Din Shalmaila. So how do we know if Beis Din Shalmaila agrees to Beis Din Shalmata? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of three places where Ruach HaKodesh seemed to appear in somebody's Beis Din. And at the very end of the daf, we probably won't get to it today, we're going to have the very, very famous Maimer Chazal about how many mitzvos there are in the Torah. How many mitzvos haseh, how many mitzvos lo haseh, and the entire concept of Taryag mitzvos really just comes from this one little Gemara at the end of Meseches Makos. The concept that there are that number of Taryag, that there is that number of 613, comes from this little Gemara at the end of Meseches Makos. So let's begin at the very top of the page on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. So we had said in the Mishnah that we tie the guy down to a post with both of his hands and we lean him over and we tear his clothing. We're Megala Eslibo. So my timer, why do we do this? So answer Gemara, Mishnah. Because the pasuk says v'nikla chichalei necha, so we see that we're supposed to be mevaza the person. Now the Gemara doesn't explain which this we're talking about. So achronim each have their own interpretation. Some say that the question is why we tie him to a post. Others say the question is why are we tearing his clothing until they become nikra or nifram. In the Bach in Osalav, he takes out these words entirely from the Gemara. Okay, so there's some part of it that's considered to be embarrassing, and that's what we're discussing. So I'm Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Minayin l'ritzua shiyishal egel. How do I know that the strap that they use, the whip that they use, should be made with calf skin? D'chsiv, because the pasuk says in the very pasuk of Vahaya im bin akos harasha v'yipilu hashovet v'kol lefanav, it says arba'im yakenu v'samich lei, and then next to that pasuk lo sachsum shor b'disho. So you have a pasuk beis and gimel about Vahaya im bin akos harasha and arba'im yakenu. And then pasuk dalit is lo sachsum shor b'disho. So it's a remez that we use the equivalent of a shor to do the malchus, because it is in Sefer Dvarim and in Mishnah Torah we're dorish smuchim. That's what we pointed out, that hekish is when you have two things in the same pasuk. Smuchim is one pasuk next to another pasuk. So in Kala Torah Kula we make a hekish, but in Mishnah Torah we darshin when there are two psukim next to one another. We make this drasha. It doesn't say say egel, it says shor, but that's what Chazal tells in Baba Kama, that a shor ben yomo is nikra shor, that even when it's just a baby, it's already called a shor. Once we're on things that Rav Shesha says in the name of Rav Blazer ben Azariah, we'll say three more. Vam Rav Shesha's Mishum Rav Blazer ben Azariah, minayin li yivama shenafel v'nei muka shchin, shein chos minosa. How do I know that if yivama is facing a yibum situation, but the brother-in-law is a muka shchin, who no one would want to be married to, it doesn't have to be a muka shchin. We're saying it's just someone that she's not interested at all in being married to. A muka shchin was the prototypical example of someone who no one would want to be married to. It's a geferlich situation for a person to be a muka shchin. So how do I know we don't muzzle her and we don't force her into the marriage? Tichsiv lo sachsum shor b'disho v'samach lei. And right next to lo sachsum shor b'disho ki yeshu achim yachtav. And the pasuk goes on and tells about yibum. It says meisachad meyam v'benein lo lo siyesh meisachutzul lishzor yivam yavola. Right, it goes through the whole parsha of yibum. So we see that that yibum, we don't muzzle, so to speak, the woman in the yibum situation. Anyone who's mevaze the moadim, he disrespects the moadim. Ki lo aviv avod zaret, as if he was aviv avod zaret dechsev, because the pasuk says Elohim asechalo sasalach v'samech lei and eschagamatzos tishmar. Now this is in Shemos, and we darshan as if it says eschagamatzos tishmar shivas yamim. Right? And tishmar is an asaras lav, not to do malacha. So from the fact that the Torah puts the Yisra malacha on Chalamoid next to the Yisra of Vodazara, so we see the severity of it, that someone who's also malacha on Chalamoid is as if he's Ovid Avodazara. I thought we're not Dorish Smuchim outside of Mishnah Torah. Yeah, but this isn't a drasha of halacha. We're not darshaning a halacha from a pasuk. We're saying we're talking about the severity and the seriousness with which one must take the moados. What exactly are the moadim? What does it mean? So the Rivan and the Rashbam in Pesachim, where a similar Gemara appears, says it means chalamoed, that people who disrespect chalamoed, meaning no one disrespects Yom Tov itself. People look forward to Yom Tov, they celebrate, yeah, but chalamoed is a time that people are much more likely to disrespect. Tosos in Chagiga, Daf Yilches, disagrees. He says, what are you talking about? The Yisra of Malach and chalamoed is only the Rabbanan. So chalamvazah, it's kilu of Rabban Zara. So Tosos says, no, it must be that we're talking about Yom Tov itself. And the Rambam, Perek Vav of Hilchas Yom Tov, puts this Memra together with the Dinim of Kibud Va'oneg of the Yom Tov itself. So it sounds like, from the Rambam also, that is about Yom Tov itself. The Rambam is the one that's Mechadesh, that there is even such a concept of Kibud Va'oneg on Yom Tov, right? Where do we know? The Rambam writes that there are two mitzvos min HaTorah and two midivrei Kabbalah related to Shabbos. The two mitzvos min HaTorah are Zachar V'Shomer. The two midivrei Kabbalah from the Navi Yeshaya are covered for oneg, but the Rambam's and across all the Shabbos oneg, the Rambam's mechadesh that kibud va'oneg applies to Yom Tov as well. Pashtos is doesn't say that anywhere. It doesn't say that in the Gemara anywhere. But the Rambam's mechadesh that there is such a concept. That's what I often point out. One of my colleagues and friends, Rav Daniel Feldman in Yeshiva, has a shtick where he says that there are certain names of svarim that it may not exist. The entire concept may not exist. People name their sefer. There's a sefer called Oneg Yom Tov. So may or may not exist, a concept called Oneg Yom Tov. Kedushas Levi may or may not exist, the concept of a Kedusha of a Levi. I once asked him, so how many more items do you have on the list besides those three? He said, no, that's it, that's the entire list. So someone else told me, Shevet HaKahasi is the name of his sefer. Oh, good one, okay. But the Rambam seems to understand, Mevaz HaSamados means the Yom Tov themselves, because there's the Yisra Malacha on Chalamoid is only Midrabanan. Rashi holds the Yisra Malacha on Chalamoid is Doraisa, and therefore for Rashi, it's not a Pella that Rashi said that the Rivan over here and the Rashbam, which we assume somehow align with Rashi, meaning within Shitas Rashi, are going to hold that it's it's a reference to Chalamoid. V'yamar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Blazer Ben Azariah, Kolam Asabra Lashon Hara, someone who speaks Lashon Hara, V'kolam Akabel Lashon Hara, and someone who believes Lashon Hara, v'kalamei reidus sheker, and anyone who testifies falsely against somebody else in Beis Din, ro'i l'shlichu l'klavim, deserves to be thrown to the dogs. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says l'kelev tashlichu noso, that pasuk says the trefa l'sachel, you're not supposed to eat trefa, but what do? You throw the meat to to the dogs. V'samach lei, and in a pasuk right near that, it says l'sisa shem hashav, and it says al tashas yadcha im rasha liyoseid chamas. So we see all three surim in that pasuk. From the fact that it says l'sisa shem hashav, we learn not to be mekabel lashon hara. We also learn not to speak lashon hara, because l'sisa kari beinami losasi. We darshan as if it says losasi as well. So it's not to speak the lashon hara and not to be mekabel. And from the fact that it says al tashas yarchem rasha liyoseid chamas, we learn not to be meyud edul sheker. So from the smichos of these isurim to the phrase lekelef tashlichon, so we darshan that if you violate these isurim, one deserves to be nishlach leklavim. One deserves to be thrown to the dogs. Ushtei ritzuos. The Mishnah then went on to say that the whip that they use had shtei ritzuos that are olos viyardos ba. So the Gemara brings a brayso. So what are these ritzuos made from? So tana shel chamor. The brayso says these ritzuos are made from donkey skin. Now it happens to be we don't need a brayso. The Mishnah said that they're made from donkey skin. It must be that the Gemara didn't have this girsa in the Mishnah, which is not terribly surprising. The Mishnah in the Mishnayis does not have these words. So sometimes you have slight discrepancies between the way the Mishnah appears in the Gemara and the way the Mishnah appears in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah in the Mishnah is sometimes a person, a Talmud Chacham, has such a sense of things, they'll know when something is off. Over here it's kind of obvious because the Gemara quotes a Braisa, it says it. I was listening to Rav Schechter's shiur from yesterday, and he was reading a Gemara that quoted a Braisa. He said, there must be a different Kirsi here. He said, there must be, that word probably doesn't belong. It wasn't something that was so egregious that, and one of the guys started looking in one of his new fancy Gemara. He says, oh, in the Tosefta, they don't have that word. He said, oh, okay, good. You know, that makes me happy. Okay, so. All right, so it says Gemara, Kedidarish Hu Galila. There was a certain Chacham from the Galil who darshined Aleid Rav Chista that on Rav Chista Yada Shor Koneh V'Chamor Evos Baal of Yisrael Lo Yada Ami Lo Vesbon. And the pasuk says that there's a criticism of Klal Yisrael that every animal knows who feeds it and they know who their owner is, and Klal Yisrael is not properly respecting the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Mishem. Let the one who understands who fills its feeding trough, meaning the chamor, the part of mimishenu makirevus balav, and pay back those who are not makirevus balav, meaning a sinner who violates the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so it's that's a fitting punishment that the one who's makirevus balav is going to be involved in that punishment. Now the pasuk mentions a shor as well, so maybe that could have been the source for Ritzua Shel Egel as well, but the Meiri points out, we prefer a source in the Torah itself, rather than a source from the Navi Yeshaya. So for the Ritzua Shel Egel, we had a source in the Torah. For the fact that part of it is made out of chamor skin, that we need to go to a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya. Yado Tefach, so we said the handle is a Tefach, and it's a Tefach wide. Amar Rabbi Shema Mina Kol Chad V'Chad L'Fum Gabe Avdin Alei. From the fact that we say that we whip him until the edge of the whip reaches around to his stomach, so we see that each one you have to size it differently. Sometimes you have a bigger fellow and you have a smaller fellow. So Rava says, just practically, how does this work? How big of a collection of whips does Beis Din have? Meaning that people come in all different sizes. So there must have been some type of slip knot where it was adjustable in size, and depending on the size of the person, they would adjust it. You don't get the impression that this is a halacha, right? That they need to have an adjustable whip. If Beis Din wanted, they could have 1,000 whips for different sized people. But Rav was just asking on a practical level, right? How would they work it out? So practically, that's what they did. So Malkanos, so they would give him Malkus with 1/3 of the whips in front of him, and Shtei Yados Mila Achrov. We said 2/3 of the strikes are on his back. So Minani Mili, how do I know that to be the case? This 2/3, 1/3 breakdown. So Rav Kana Domakra, because the pasuk says V'Yipilu Hashofet V'Yikol Lefanav Kedei Rishaso B'Mispar. So we darshan from the pasuk Lefanav Kedei Rishaso that Risha Achas Milefanav. that there's one section of the Malkus that happens with Lefanav. And Shtei Rishayos Mila Achrav. And B'mispar teaches us that it's Shtei Rishayos, that it's two-thirds that are La'achrav. Not abundantly clear exactly how we see that from the word B'mispar, but something along those lines, that that whenever you say one section as opposed to more, so the more is going to be two. So the one section is in front, two-thirds are behind. Ein Malkus, so we said that he doesn't stand when he gets the Malkus, nor does he sit. Rather, he's leaning over. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yochum, Minayin L'Ritzua Shimuch Pelas. The Mishnah went on to say that it's a doubled over Ritzua. How do I know that it's doubled? Shenemar Vihi Pilo. So apparently we're saying that Al Tikri Vihi Pilo Ela Vihich Pilo. That it's as if you add a letter Chaf and it's a Kefel. It's a doubled over. But don't you need the Hipilo to tell me that he should be leaning over, that he's not standing or sitting? How can you also darshan it to tell me vehich pilo? So imkein lichtov kra viatehu. Let the pasuk say viatehu. My vihipilo shemamina tarti. Since there's another word for leaning over, it could have picked a different word for leaning over. Why does it pick a word that sounds like vehich pilo? It must be to tell me both that the guy's got to lean over and that it's a ritzua kafel. So he said that he's makabiyado achas b'kol kocho. He uses one hand with all of his strength. So Tan Rabbanan, ein ma'amidin chazanin el chaseire koach v'yaseire mada. The kinds of guys we're looking for to be doing the malchus are people that are weak in physical strength, but strong in intellect. Rabbi Yehuda omer afilu chaseire mada v'yaseire koach. Rabbi Yehuda says that even people who are weak in intellect and have a lot of brute strength. I don't know how Rabbi Yehuda would advertise that they're looking for a guy to give Malkus in his basin. You know, all idiots, please apply. But that's what Rabbi Yehuda said. That's perfectly fine. You could have someone who doesn't know anything, and even if he's very, very strong. So I'm Rav Kavasi, Rabbi Yehuda Mestaber. Rabbi Yehuda is more Mestaber that Rabbi Yehuda Shita of Afilu Chaseri Mado V'Yaseri Koach Tichsiv, because it says Lo Yakenu Pen Yosef, that the pasuk says Lo Yakenu Pen Yosef, that the Torah tells him not to be Mosef, to be Makam more than his Chayiv. So I Amr Pishlom Chaseri Mada Hainu Tzar Chasure. If you're going to say that the guy is Chaseri Mada, that he doesn't have a very strong intellect, so you have to warn a person like that. He's just he's a bulvan, and he's just going to keep on hitting unless you tell him stop hitting. But you have an intellectual person, a person who's more comfortable, in the library than he is, than he is with whips and weapons in his hand. He's not comfortable doing this whole thing. He'll do the bare minimum that he has to. You don't have to warn him. Eliyam, do you say remada mitzar chasure? Do you need to warn such a person? So says Mar Rabbanan. The Rabban would respond in Masirin el lemezuras that we give asharos to those who are naturally inclined to be careful as well, to add an extra level of zihirus. So Tanuk Shum Magbia b'shteyad of the Brisa teaches when he picks up the whip, he picks up the whip with both hands. Shumaka makabia doachas. When he comes down with the force of one hand. So that he can generate the most koach. So you pick it up with two hands, you'll be able to pick it up the highest, and then when you go down, you'll get the most force when you're swinging with only one arm. Va'kore kore. Then we said that the kore, someone is calling out psukim in the Beis Din. Imlo sishmola, so sishmarta mistivrei abris. Right, all of those things. It's likely that the v'hurachum yichaper avon that we say at Mariv comes from this. That's what the Achronim point out, that the Torah writes in Seder Tefilas Arvis that we say v'hurachum, and that some say the reason is because when they were knowing to give Malkus ba'arvis after people did averus all day, and in the Malkus it would be mechaper lehem, so we'd say v'hurachum. So even once the Malkus stopped, the Vuhurachum still continued. So anyway, so they would say all these psukim. So Tan Rabban Gadol Shabbateyanim Kore. The Gadol of Dayanim reads the psukim. Hasheni Moned, the second most prominent of the Dayanim, would count out the Malkus to make sure we're keeping track. Veshlishi Omer Hakehu, and the third one would instruct, hit him again, right? Vizman Shemakamaruba, when there was a lot of Malkus that the guy would get, meaning it's a maximum of 39, but they would medically assess the person each time. So some people would get the full 39, some people would get much less. So when it was the full amount, so Marich, the guy would read the Pesukim slowly. But when there were fewer Malkus, so then he would read the Pesukim much more quickly. He would be Mekatzer in the way he would say that, because the Pesukim should align to the Malkus. You want to finish the Pasuk just as the Malkus is being finished. So, do you really need to finish the Pasuk when the Malkus is being finished? Didn't we say, so if you finish early, you go back and say the Pasuk again? So that's Gemara Mitzvah Tzamtzim V'lo Tzimtzim Chozel Tchilas HaMikra. Now, really, you're supposed to have it land just so, where you finish the pasuk just as they're finishing the malchus. If you failed, you didn't time it right, you messed up, and you finished in advance. So then, okay, you go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Tan Rabban, the Brisa tells us as follows: pasuk says you're supposed to give 40 malchus, and it says Pen Yosef. So Makaraba Ainli Ella. Pasuk says Pen Yosef Lakosva Al Ela Makaraba. So from the fact that it says Makaraba Ainli Ella Makaraba, I would only know that they're not allowed to be given more than the makos that they assess that he deserves, but that it's usher to give him more makos than makomuetas, two makos or one minayin. How do I know that that's usher as well? Tamalomar lo Yosef, it says Abraham Yekera lo Yosef. So it doesn't say makarabba when it says lo Yosef. So we see from there that you're not allowed to be mosif even a maka achas. Meaning, I would have thought that pen Yosef lakos alele makarabba don't do a lot of extra Malkios. How do I know even one extra Malkios is a problem? Because it doesn't always say Makaraba. When it says Lo Yosef, it doesn't say Makaraba. Im Kain, Matamalom Makaraba. So what do I learn from the Pasuk that does say Makaraba? Limit al Rishonos, Shein Makaraba. To tell me about the Makos Rishonos, the ones that he was Mukhiv on, that they should be given with a lot of force. Meaning not about how many, but about the force with which they are applied. Niskalkal. So then we said if the guy soils himself or wets himself, so he's pater. Rabbi Yehuda says a man is only pater if he's sufficient and is sufficiently humiliated if he soils himself. But a woman, even if she wets herself, she's also sufficiently humiliated that would mean that she's no longer chayiv. So Tan Rabban, echad ish ve'echad isha berei velo b'mayim divrei Meir. Rabbi Meir holds men and women have the same din, that it's only if they soil themselves that they're pater, but if they wet themselves they're not pater. Rabbi Yehuda omer. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. For a man, he has to soil himself in order to be pater, but a woman even b'mayim. And the Chum have a third shita that even a man b'mayim is going to be pater from getting any further malchus, from any suffering any further bizyonos. So ask the Gemara v'atanya, but we have another brisa that Rabbi Yehuda omer echad ish ve'echad isha berei. The Rabbi Yehuda says both a man and a woman is only if they soil themselves. So that's so sir what he says in the Mishnah and the first brisa that we quoted, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the woman is pater even b'mayim. So Amrav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Shneim Shavin Brei. No, when Rabbi Yehuda says in this most recent brisa that Echad Ish Ve'Echad Ish Berei, he's not saying anything inaccurate. Meaning, Rei is enough to pater both a man and a woman. Happens to be that a woman would be pater b'mayim as well. But that's not, the brisa is not dealing with that. It's saying that Rei is enough that works for both man and a woman to pater them from anything further. So Amr Shmuel, Ksum Veratzmi Bezdin Pater. If they tied the guy down to give him Malkus and somehow the ropes came loose, he managed to do a Houdini and he got out and he ran away, so then he's pater from anything further. So Meisvei, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Kolav, a person already suffered some bizyonos that he soiled himself or something like that, Bein Barishona, whether that happened before the very first whipping, before he even got a Malkus, Bein Bishnia, or whether it was between the first and the second, Potron or so. He doesn't get any further Malkus. Nifsuka Ritsua, if the Ritsua snaps and the strap they want to give Malkus with breaks, so Bishnia Potron or so. If he already got one whip and then the strap breaks, so we say, okay, he doesn't have to stand around as we start fixing it and figuring it out and making a new one, he's Potter. He gets to go home. Whereas Berishona, but if it breaks before we even hit him one time, ain't potron or so. He didn't suffer anything yet, so we're not going to potter him. Amai lahavi karat, but why if the strap breaks, if it snaps, do we before the first one, do we not potter him? Let it have the same din as someone who's ruts me based in. And Shmuel said that if a person is ruts me based in, he's potter from Malkus. So says Gemara, no, it's different. If the strap snaps before you get Malkus, hasam ruts, hachalo ruts. Shmuel said that you potter if that you ran away, because that itself is a bizayon, the fact that the guy's got to be running for his life. Whereas over here, he didn't go through that bizayon of having to run for his life. He was just standing there waiting to get malchus, and the strap broke, so that nothing happened to him yet, so that would not be enough to pater him. Tanur Rabbanan, amduhu, if they assess that the guy who's chayiv to get malchus looks sheyilka kala, that he's going to be misbaza right after the first haka'a potro, so then we don't give him malchus at all, because since it says pen yosef la kos alele makarabav nikla chichla leinecha, we darshan from the pasuk that you shouldn't give him malchus in a way that it's going to be overly embarrassing for him. So if we assess that based on this fellow's constitution that with the first whip he's just going to soil himself, so we don't do that even lechachila. We're not gonna do that. Look, sheyetze mi beizdin kala malkin also. But if we make the assessment that as soon as he leaves beizdin, he's gonna fall to pieces and he's gonna lose control of his faculties, then we're still gonna give him the malkus. Even if he loses control of his faculties before we give him any malkus, we still give him the malkus. That it says v'yikol v'nikla, that's where it's a problem of Pen Yosef. But if he's called a kvar bebeizdin, so we're not going to pater him on account of that. So it turns out that there are three peturim from malchus. Someone who is niskalkal berei or b'mayim at the time of the halka, or even before it, after they tie him down, and they pick up the whip to hit him, or if they assume that they do an assessment that that's going to happen. The second petur is someone who already got at least one makkah, and then the strap breaks. And the third is someone who they tied down and he managed to run away, right? Those are the three circumstances that a person is going to be pater from any further malchus. So now, next Mishnah. The first Mishnah in the parak, we spoke about the chayavei krisus, that you give them hasra for malchus, so they get malchus. So the Mishnah discusses, and now that they got the malchus, what's going to be their din? And then the Mishnah is going to tell us a few agadic teachings. So kol chayavei krisus shalaku, anyone who violated in Avera for which the Onesh is Kares, and they get Malkus, and they got Malkus in Bezdin, Nifteru Yidei Krisasam. Bezdin Shalmaila is Mochel, they no longer need, they are no longer Chayiv Kares, because Bezdin it's already covered in Bezdin Shalmaila. In Bezdin Shalmata, so Bezdin Shalmaila doesn't have to worry about it. In the Rambam, in Perish Mashiach, he says, provided that they did Tshuva. But Malkus without Tshuva is not going to accomplish a Petor from the Kares. It's interesting, the Rambam in the 17th paragraph of Hilchos Sanhedrin, where he mentions this halacha, does not say, provided that they do tshuva. Only in Perashat Mishnayos he says, provided that they do tshuva. The Bala Ma'ar explicitly says that it's irrelevant whether they do tshuva, that just suffering the pain and the bizyonos of the Malkus itself is going to pater from kares. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, v'nikla achich le'inecha, kishalaka hareu ke'achicha. Divrei Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, you can't call someone who's chayiv kares achicha, because it means he's nichras from Klal Yisrael. So the fact that we're willing to call him achicha after he gets the malchus tells me that malchus brings him back in, that he's no longer chayiv kares. Vam Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel. Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel tells us as follows, that we see ma'im over avera achas notel nafsho aleha. If a person who does one avera, we're willing to be notel nafsho, that he's going to be chayiv, meaning that there are averos for which one is chayiv kares. And the truth is, even for chayiv malchus, it's a risk to his nefesh at least. So we're willing to risk the fellow's life. Hos a mitzvah achas halachas kam v'kam shetinas. So someone who does one mitzvah, all the more so that we give him a nefesh, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him a nefesh, for that mitzvah, he's going to be zocha to live. Midah tova is always meruba mimidas pranas. The Rivan points out it's a 500-to-1 ratio, because the pasuk says poked avon avos albanim al shileshim ve'al ribayim. So you see that it's four generations of midah ra'a, but by midah tova it says va'osa chesed la'alafim. So it's a minimum of 2,000. So 2,000, the ratio of 2,000 to 4 is a 500-to-1 ratio. So midah tova is meruba to midah sopranos by 500-to-1 ratio. What exactly this means, that kal v'chomer that tinasein lo nafsho, Bartanura writes a surprising idea. So first he says the simple pshat, that he's coming to tell us a schar of nosa mitzvah based on this based based on this concept that you see it's 500-to-1 ratio, so the schar of osei mitzvah is 500 times greater. However, he then has another interpretation where he says that what Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel is doing is he's bringing a makar to the what we just said in the Mishnah, the chayav krisus and malchus are part of from the kares, that if a person doesn't have avera achas, is going to be chayav kares. So if he follows that up with doing a mitzvah by being mekabel the malchus, that's the mitzvah, that's for sure going to pater him from the kares. Meaning we're not stam talking about random mitzvahs. We're saying the mitzvah of receiving your just due for the avera that you did, of receiving the malchus for the avera that you did, that's going to for sure pater you from the kares. Because mid the tov is merubim mid this pranus. The Aruch Lener finds it hard to believe that that's what the Mishnah means. He says, someone who's over avera is mekabel malchus pal karcho. He called that an osa mitzvah. He didn't choose to do that mitzvah. They're whipping him in Beis Din. And also, if you want to tell me the schar of mitzvahs from the onus of averos, then anyone who eats chametz on Pesach and is going to be chayiv kares, just eat matzah afterwards, and then you'll be pater from the kares, and you'll be zocha to chayim. Because after all, so you could have a matzah chametz sandwich, and you'll be fine. It's ridiculous. It can't possibly mean that. So therefore, the Aruch Lener says, based on the sheet of the Rambam, that someone who gets malchus is pater from kares only if he does tshuva, and Rabbi Chanina is bringing a makar for that. That if a person does one avera, we're not till nafshola. If he's then mekayim not just stam a mitzvah, but the mitzvah of tshuva, it's tinas in lo nafsho. So three interpretations of what's going on over here in the Mishnah. One interpretation is nothing to do with malchus and kares and anything like that. Just stam. It's telling us generally the great reward for mitzvahs. Second is no, the mitzvah of receiving the malchus. That's what's going to pass from kares. And third possibility is the mitzvah of tshuva is what's going to be so beneficial for him. Rabbi Shimon says that mimakomu hulamad, that we learn this out from the very parsha shenamer, because the pasuk says v'nuchsra nefashos ha'osos, that someone is chayiv kares v'omer. In the beginning of that parsha says that asher yasa osam adam v'chay behem, and so we say asher yasa means hakol yoshev lo avar avera noson schar ka'osa mitzvah, which teaches us additionally that someone who just sits and does not violate an avera, he gets schar as if he fulfills a mitzvah. Rashi writes based on the Gemara in Kiddushin that's only if he had an opportunity for the avera, he has a desire for the avera. So refraining from an avera when there is an opportunity and there's a desire to do it, so then it's schar kosa mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe Omer that the fact that there's schar for refraining from an avera is derived from somewhere else. Hareyu Omer rak chazak levilti achol adam ki adamu anefesh. Don't eat blood. Umayim adam shenafshu shaladim katsim menu aparish menu mekabel sachar. If the isra of eating blood, which is something that no one has any desire to do, and nevertheless you get rewarded for it, so gezel v'arayos shenafshu shaladim esavelehen umachmadasan, gezel and arayos, which people actually have a desire for, haparish menu alachas kamav kamashi iskolol dorosov dorosov atzov kol adoros. So all the more so that for many, many, many generations, he's going to reap the reward of refraining from those averus. The Marsha raises the question, someone who eats dam is chayiv kare, so you see it's more severe. So maybe refraining from eating dam gets a greater schar because it's a greater onesh to eat dam, as opposed to gezel, where you're only chayiv mamon, so it's not as severe. So he says, maybe Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe is relying on the Divrei Kabbalah that the gazlan is mischayiv benafsho as well. The Gemara Baba Kama says that on a certain level, a gazlan is also mischayiv benafsho. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, a very famous member of Chazal, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael, lefichach chibur lam Torah mitzvos. Hashem wanted to generate zuchuyos for the Jewish people, so he gave us lots of Torah mitzvos. Shenemar, Hashem chafetz zaman sitko, yagdil Torah v'yadir. Since Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be matztik klal Yisrael, be mezakeh klal Yisrael, so he gave us so many Torah mitzvos. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis explains that one of the ikarei amuna b'torah is, one of the fundamental beliefs that we have, is that if a person fulfills one mitzvah, kara'oi ukahogen, and he does it completely lishma, me'avas Hashem, without any other ulterior motives, he's going to be zochel chayil maba. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so many opportunities to find that one that talks to you the most, that you're able to do that mitzvah perfectly. That's what the Rambam says, that's what the Lefichah Chirban Torah Mitzvos, that there's so many, because you only need to find one that you do perfectly, that you're going to be Zocha to all, we have to do all of them, but if you do one perfectly, you're going to be Zocha to Olam Abba. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Gamliel. Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel says that if someone is Chayiv Karis and he gets Malkus, he's part from the Karis. Not everyone agreed to that. So Amar Avad Barava Amri Beirav Taninan. We already learned that Ein Bein Shabbos Liyom HaKippurim, that the Mishnah Maseches Megillah tells us in the series of Ein Bein Mishnayos, that there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur in terms of the Isurim that you're not allowed to do, as opposed to like other Yom Tovim where there's Heter Melechas Ochal Nefesh. You don't have that in Yom Kippur. Elish says Dona B'Deadim says Dona B'Kares. The only difference is that if you do Melacha B'Mezin on Shabbos, you're Chayiv Mises Bezin. You do Malacha B'mezer on Yom Kippur, you chayv kares, but V'emisa, but if Rabbi Chanan is really correct, Idividi B'dei Adam Hu. What do you mean it's B'dei Shemayim? It's B'dei Adam when you violate Yom Kippur, because you chayv Malkus, and the Malkus kapatu you from the kares. Elamai, it must be that it can't. So Rabbi Nachman Omer, Hamani Rabbi Yitzchaki, that maybe that mission is assuming like Rabbi Yitzchak, that Malkus B'chayav Ekrisos Leka, where Rabbi Yitzchak calls that there is no Malkus at all for Chayav Ekrisos. Did Tanya, we learned a brisa earlier in the Masechta, that Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chayav Ekrisos, that chayav ekrisos for violating various arayos are derived from the pasuk of v'nichrasu anefashos ha'osos, which is a very general statement about arayos. V'lama yatzus karis ba'achoso. Why does the Torah single out by achoso where it says that the isha shayikach ha'achoso v'nichrasu le'enei b'dayamam? It says karis separately dafka by achoso ladona b'karis vol b'malkos, to tell me that you chayav karis for arayos and that's it, that you're not chayav malkos. So then I understand Rav Nachman, that the Mishnah Megillah that says that the Chi of Kares is Bidei Shamayim, that goes like Rabbi Yitzchak, that there is no Malkus for things that you're Chai of Kares. But it could be those that hold that there is Malkus for Chi of Ekrisus will tell you that Malkus will patter you from the Kares. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Teim Rabbanan. We could even say the Mishnah Megillah is going like the Rabbanan. Aye, how can you say it's Onish Bidei Shamayim, you're Chai of Malkus, and the Malkus will patter you? Ze Ikers Dono Bidei Adam, Ze Ikers Dona B'dei Shemayim. All I wanted to say was that the primary punishment for Melecha Shabbos B'mezid is B'dei Adam. The primary punishment for violating Yom Kippur B'mezid is B'dei Shemayim, even though there's another way out, that's B'dei Adam. Amrav Adbarav Amrav Halach Rabbi Chanan Gamliel, we pass in Chayv Ekrisos that get Malkus or Pata from their Kares. Amrav Yosef Man Salik Leila Vasav Amar, who's going to go up to Shemayim and tell us that's the Psak Halacha, that they're Pata from Kares? I mean, Kares is B'dei Shemayim. How do we know? I mean, how can we paskin that? I mean, so Amar Le'Abayis. Abayis says, Ella Hada Amar Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Shlosh Advar Masu Bezen Shalmata V'Yiskimu Bezen Shalmaila Al Yadam Man Salik Le'ela Va'asava Amar. Well, you should have that kasha on that which Rabbi Shua Ben Levi taught, that there were three things that were done in Bezen Shalmata, and Bezen Shalmaila was masking to them. Whoever went up to Bezen Shalmaila to figure it out? Ella Kroy Kadashinan. We have to learn the Torah and figure out from the Pesukim what Bezen Shalmaila believes. So Chanami Kroy Kadashinan. So there's the same over here, that's what we're doing. So Gufa, what were these three things? Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Shlosh Advarim Asu Bezen Shalmata, V'Eskimu Bezen Shalmaila Al Yadam. Three things that were done in Bezen Shalmata, Bezen Shalmaila agreed. Ve'elu Hein, Mikra Megillah, that you read Megillah on Purim, that's not Pal Tosef, She'el HaShalom, that's one of the Makoros to celebrating Yom HaTzmaut, is that how can we add anything? How can you add Megillah's Titus is Batal? How are you allowed to add anything? So the Mikra Megillah on Purim, even though it looks like a Hosaf Ala Mitzvos, so you have to figure out if whatever exception they had over there could apply to other great miracles that happen throughout the generations. Okay, we're not going to have that discussion right now. She'el HaShalom B'Shem, that they were matir person to be shol b'shalom chaveru using Shem Hashem and Vavas Meiser, and that Ezra Sofer was Masake not to give Meiser Rishon to Leviim like the Torah says to do, but rather to bring it to the Lishchan the Beis HaMikdash so the Kohanim could take from it. So Mikra Megillah, how do I know Mikra Megillah that Beis HaShalmaila was maskim tichsiv kimu v'kiblu ayudim kimu l'mal l'mashe kiblu l'mata, that they were Mekayim up there what we instituted down here. Shela Shalom, how do I know Shela Shalom? D'chsev, v'ine Boaz, b'mi beis lechem v'yomer lekotshim, Hashem imachem, v'omer Hashem imcha, gibor achayil. May va'omer, why do I need the second pasuk? He already got it with the first one that he greeted with the Shem Hashem. V'chitem of Boaz, who doven midaitim, v'shmai lo askim al yado, tashema, v'omer Hashem imcha, gibor achayil. That's why I need the second pasuk to tell us that the Malach blessed Gidon, so you see that it's min hashemayim that they were maskim to it. It wasn't just Boaz acting on his own, doing his own thing, that they weren't maskim min hashemayim. And Avos, Meiser, how do I know about that they were maskim? D'chsiv, because the pasuk says that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael al yidei the Navi, Havius kol Meisrael besa otzer, v'yiterif bevesi, v'chanuni nara bezos, amar Hashem tzavakos, im lo aftach lechem esarubas hashemayim, v'arikosi lechem bracha ad bilidai. So Hashem was mitzavah to bring the Meisrael to the besa otzer. So you see, he was maskim to Takanas Ezra. My ad bilidai, what does it mean, ad bilidai, that they're going to have so much bracha, ad bilidai? So amar Rami Barav, what it means is, Hashem is going to give so much bracha, ad sheyivlu sifsosecha milomar dai, that your lips are going to be worn out from saying dai, that it's enough. You're going to be so grateful for all of the brachos that a person is going to have. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Blazer, and Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll finish Maseches Makos. Everyone have a great day.